Network connectivity issues can be a major source of frustration for end users and put IT professionals in the hot seat. That's why it's important to troubleshoot connectivity issues and identify problem domains on copper Ethernet links quickly. The LinkSprinter Pocket Network Tester is the perfect tool for the job. It rapidly identifies errors and documents network connectivity status and path information for every Ethernet link. LinkSprinter delivers these five essential network tests to the palm of your hand. Use the built-in low-power Wi-Fi access point to view detailed results on any mobile device. And collaborate via automated reports to LinkLive Cloud Service. LinkSprinter provides accurate results in about 10 seconds. Contact NetAlly today and learn how to fix network connectivity issues faster.
Are you guys excited?
Are you ready to start Beyond?
I think folks are really, really excited about what they can do with their customers and how they can help grow their business.
It's a massive opportunity for all of you.
Cheers to the channel community.
Hello, friends. Uncle Marv here with another episode of the IT Business Podcast, the show for IT professionals, managed service providers, and even those of you in the corporate sector. If you're working full-time in an IT job, this show is for you, where we try to help you do your job, run your networks better, smarter, and faster. This is the Wednesday Live Show, and tonight I am going to do a recap. I'm back from my trip to O-Town, which is Orlando, Florida, where I was at Channel Pro Live. And guys, it was a pretty good show. So I want to give you a little bit of a recap on that. I also have a junior story for you today. If you guys were paying attention to the All Things MSP show, they actually were talking about the intricacies of pricing. And my story today has a little bit to do with that, because I got to tell a customer, you got what you paid for, and it felt good. And then, of course, some of you are going to be here to hear what I have to say about the vendor swag. We will talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about vendor etiquette as well. And that is going to be our show. Now, the IT Business Podcast is presented by NetAlly. You saw the ad at the beginning of the show for the LinkSprinter. I have just about all the tools. They are a fantastic partner, and they are fantastic tools to have with you out in the field to help you troubleshoot networks. And a lot of that stuff you can do in as little as 10 seconds, but definitely in just a few minutes, you can get an overview of the network. One of our podcast partners is SuperOps, the all-in-one ready-made RMM PSA tool that will help you supercharge your business. They are a supporting sponsor of the show. They are on the mug that I have that I drink from each night. This is not Angry Tea, folks, but it is a nice beverage that I have here. They also sponsor Florida Man. And then our live stream is sponsored by Computers Done Right, an MSP down here in Florida, actually across Alligator Alley over in Venice, Florida. They do computer repair, managed services, and they can also help with your social media marketing, websites, all that good stuff. So check out itbusinesspodcast.com. You can click on the sponsor link, see everyone there. You can see other affiliates there, and that is a good way to support the show as well as shopping on Amazon. I do want to say thank you for a lot of you that have purchased some pretty nice stuff, and I will be reviewing that, not tonight, but in a later show. I'm actually going to go through some of the Amazon purchases that I think are pretty neat and that you guys should know about. So let's start with Channel Pro Live. That was last week, and a two-day event held at the – I don't even know the actual hotel, but it was a Marriott, which is a pretty nice place. I usually stay at a Hilton, or, of course, most of the conferences are at these nice, big, huge hotels. But this was a pretty good hotel, and so of course, one of the first things that – when you're evaluating a conference, one of the things is location. And, of course, you can't go wrong with Orlando, Florida. I know some of you are like, everything's in Orlando. Well, you know what? If you don't have storms in the rest of the country and incessant rain and snow and stuff like that, well, you're going to come down to Florida. So Orlando's a good place to go. So the location was actually pretty good. The accommodations were nice. And I have to say that because the last time I was in Orlando, it was for a podcast conference, and it was horrible. It was called a resort, but it was basically a motel with a pool. All the doors opened up to the outside. It was right next to the interstate. The rooms were nasty. I can't say much more about that, but it was a bad experience. So this was not nice, clean rooms. The Wi-Fi at the hotel. A couple of people did make some comments, but I myself, no issues with the Wi-Fi on any of my devices. In fact, I did last week's live show right there at the hotel in the very room that we were having Channel Pro. So I was able to stream the show live, didn't have any issues with the internet, unlike the issues that you see me have here sometimes because life is so Comcastic. I'm working on it. AT&T Fiber says they're going to be here soon, so we shall see. So, yes, so location, accommodations are all things to talk about when you're at a conference. Channel Pro, you guys did good. I appreciate that. So, of course, Channel Pro Live, our good friend Jay-Z, that's their event. Channel Pro, it was a great event. Had some good content, some good speakers. Manuel Palachuk was the keynote speaker, did a fantastic job. And then, of course, some of our good friends were on the panel there. I did not literally write down all their names, but some of the names you will know. Rayanne Buchanico was on stage, Eric Lawn, Carlos Perez, and some others. The topics were all good. It was not a pitch fest, which is one of the things that in the past few years, conferences have been trying to get away from the pitch fest. These were not. These were conversations that, for the most part, you wanted to pay attention to. People were sitting up in their seats. They were audience-engaged presentations, questions, participation, and really done really well. So, Jay-Z, hats off to you, my man. Thanks for inviting me and telling me I need to get up there. And I'll be back for another one. Let's see. In terms of notes of what else went on up there, let's see here. Well, of course, the vendors were nice. I'll talk a little bit about some of them. Well, I will say this. Overall, and I don't really grade conferences. I try not to do that. But if I had to grade a conference, this would be a 9 out of 10. Maybe an 8.5, but it was pretty good, pretty nice. So that is there. A lot of vendors were there. I think there were, 19 vendor booths or something. It was a small conference. I mean, there was less than 100 people. Probably, I think TechCon is going to be a little bit bigger this year, but that's about the size if you're looking at it. It's a good-sized conference, you know, not too many people that you get lost in the shuffle, not so small that you feel like you've met everybody by the end of, you know, the first session. A good conference, and again, interactive enough that you had stuff to do. It was on a big enough hotel platform that you could walk around, and it was a nice little area. So that was good. Since I'll be mentioning a lot of the stuff later when I start to talk about the vendor and the swag, let me go ahead and get to my junior story. So I mentioned that Eric and his had a little panel on where they were talking about pricing. And of course, a lot of them were the usual conversations about pricing, setting customer expectations, packaging your stuff in such a way that you're presenting value to customers, being able to explain what it is that they're getting, whether you're doing an a la carte or an all you can eat. That is one of the big things that we have to, you know, get across from the very beginning when you're dealing with a client. This particular client is one that is, they are on a managed agreement. They long since went off of the commitment, meaning in the beginning, we did sign them to a one-year deal, but now it's pretty much, yes, they agree in principle to an annual agreement, but I don't really hold them to that. It's a nice agreement and it works out well. I do not bill them all you can eat. I do bill them it's an almost all you can eat remote support. So they get, you know, as much of that as they can, but only during business hours. And I say that specifically because this is a client who thinks that they need 24/7 support. The problem is they don't want to pay for 24/7 support. And we've had that discussion with them many, many times. This is a customer that every, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, I mean, I've been with them a while, and they have shopped me around many times. In fact, they did an experiment back during COVID. I did not say that this is actually a co-managed client as well. So I have two juniors at this place. I have an AJ and I have a CJ. And during COVID, they did not have one of the juniors. They just had AJ. And they did not want to pay me to provide them some on-site support to put a tech in their office. So they actually contracted with another provider, and it was a copy vendor. Let me see if I can explain this properly. This was a copy vendor that was acquired by a national MSP, and so they thought that they could start offering managed services to all their copy clients. So the copy vendor that I worked with approached AJ and said, hey, you know, we can provide you support as well. Come to find out, it wasn't what they claimed it was. They touted the 24/7 support. They touted that you could call anytime. There was a whole bunch of stuff that happened with that. But the bottom line is that project only went maybe 3, 4 months, and then they ditched it. And I'm trying to think. They probably went maybe 3 or 4 months before hiring. They hired another junior before this junior. So they've gone through a couple. But bottom line is that's where they are. And I've talked to them a couple of times about providing 24/7 support. And they keep saying no because it's just too expensive. And I'm like, understood. So your support hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And that is that. Leads me to an email that I received at 9:52 p.m. last night where AJ was like, I really need to speak to you. We have a situation where an employee filed a personal claim against one of our clients, and now the client wants to know what files they have access to. That's probably the most I can give you about the situation, but that was at 9:52 p.m. Last night. So at 7:42 a.m., AJ responds again. I'm sorry. I don't know why this says 7:42, but here's the thing. So at 8:45, I actually sent him an email saying, call you soon, working on a server emergency for another client. And that is one of the ways that I prioritize what's important. You guys do it. I do it. So if there's a server down, that trumps other situations. And I don't prioritize based on the size of the client. I prioritize based on the size of the problem. So a client that had a server down, I was working with them. And So the email that I got back, I believe should have been 8:54 a.m., but it says 7:54 for some reason, or 7:42, should have been 8:42. The response is, I know you have an emergency this morning, but we really need to get an answer back to our client in the below. Can you please respond to big fancy owner name and I on any options and or when you will be available to call me back? So that was the premise of how I got my start with the client this morning. So come to find out, the issue that really needed to be resolved was something happened back on March 4th that wasn't communicated to anybody until yesterday. And AJ didn't decide to email me until 9:52 last night. And what he wanted was for me to pull file access for one employee for all files related to this client that they had accessed and all of that stuff. And I said, we don't have that. And he's like, why not? I said, you didn't want that. We talked about this 10 years ago when we started with you. I think it's longer. We talked about it 2 years ago when you were looking at other programs, and one of the features in some of these other programs that you wanted was the ability to track when somebody touched a file, created a file, moved a file, deleted a file, blah, 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 blah. And all of the programs were too expensive for that. Well, we switched them over to a Synology NAS, which actually does have that ability. But as part of the proposal that I gave them back when we did this, this was an upgrade that we did for them last year. It ended up being in November when we did that. One of the considerations was storage for server logs and other programs. And the comment was, well, we don't need that. We don't want to pay for the extra storage. We just need to pay for storage for what we need now. And I said, well, I do need to plan for storage in the future because you're probably going to have this at least 5 years. And you guys use a lot of space. You guys have big PDFs. You guys have big, you know, video files that you get in from other clients, and you got to have some place to store that. So we bought them one of the Synology NASs that were a little bit bigger. I think it was the 3622 XS Plus that has 12 bays. And so we filled up 8 of them, 2 of them with a system drive, solid state drives to kind of run all their apps and do all the stuff. And then we had 6 drives that we put just your regular SATA Synology drives in, giving them 4 drives bays for extension, for expansion, I mean. So we have the ability to add more space. And they're about 40% used right now. And so he started saying, well, we should have done that. Why didn't you do that? I mean, you said no. You said no to the 24/7 support. You said no to the extra storage. You said no to the file monitoring. And there was actually a whole bunch of other stuff that they said no to. And as I said in the intro, you're getting what you paid for. If you want more, then we have to charge you more. And trying to think if he even said anything, but it was quiet for quite some time. But what's funny is the big named owner that he said I needed to get back to had written an email that said, we are about to lose a client if I do not immediately inform them of our research on this topic. And I had to explain to him that, you know, I will respond to you when I can respond to you. I have somebody with a server down, and you have a problem that you've known about since March 4th that you didn't want to tell me about. So why is that my emergency now? So it's been a fun day. So that is my junior story. Of course, AJ is who I was dealing with. And now I should probably go ahead and say this. I have engaged a digital forensic person that is going to come in and run some program that will go back and check all the metadata on the profile of the user, because needless to say, there are ways that you can go and track that information. The Synology options that I did say are available, we are now going to turn on. We are going to figure out a place to store the logs in Synology. And I didn't know this, but there is a transfer service under the file areas and stuff that you can turn on tracking. And usually it just has what's deleted and something else. But in order to track what's created, what's read, what's moved, you actually have to check those. And as you can imagine, the larger the client, the larger amount of storage that is needed for these logs. So that's why we had to go through that. They said we need to turn that on, because if this ever happens again, and I said, okay, just know that there will be an extra charge on your monthly invoice, and I've not heard back from them yet. So the guys that were on the All Things MSP show were all saying things, you know, of you've got to set the customer expectations, you have to stand firm with your pricing in the beginning. I know that when I talked about some of this in the billing tips that I gave last month, when we were talking about MSP money, some of the things with billings, you know, you've got to do that. You set your prices and you stand firm. And if you have things where you will provide support from this hour to this hour, and if you need support extra, you're going to pay extra. And if they want to renegotiate, you've got to have all of that stuff in there. So it was interesting. Good day. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I was able to do some of the stuff they needed. I got them the contact that they needed. They're now going to pay $3,500 to do research on this person's profile. And I hope that they find what they're looking for. All right. That's our junior story for today. Now, some of you have been patiently waiting for me to talk about vendor swag. And one of the first things that I should probably say is that I'm not going to pick an actual swag winner for this conference. I just don't think that it's fair for the venue that we were at, the vendors that showed up. Yes, there were 19, a good amount of vendors. We had a good amount of swag. I came back with two bags of stuff, but I'm not going to pick an actual winner. But I am going to talk about some of the different stuff that we got. So I did prepare something. Here we go. So I did prepare a little slideshow. So rather than me trying to have all this swag just hanging out here, Channel Pro Live was the event that I was at. And of course, the first thing we always talk about is the bags. That has become something that I believe needs to be a mainstay. And if vendors really want people to dig their swag, having a bag is important, because you got to have something to put it in. And the bag that really impressed me this time was presented by AnyDesk, a vendor that, let's just say, I wasn't quite sure that they were a real vendor, because AnyDesk is one of those remote access programs that I thought was what the bad guys used all the time to get into stuff. Now, I obviously could be wrong, and if I'm giving AnyDesk a bad name, I apologize. But they had a good bag. It was a nice, hefty tote, made of cloth, sturdy. It's going to last. You know, I don't like bags that fall apart after the conference. The handles rip. This bag, they won't do that. There's actually even an internal little pocket that if you want to stick things like business cards or your wallet or keys or stuff like that, you can do that inside the bag here. So AnyDesk gets a mention for a very nice bag. For apparel, so this shirt caught my attention. I do believe this is the first time that I have seen it at any of the conferences that I've been to. It's got an interesting front, which is what you're seeing on the screen now with the phrase, "Hey, hackers." And then when you turn the shirt over and look at the back, and I don't know that I can magnify this, but it is a shirt that you can tell is from Huntress, and it's got a good little phrase there with a little graph versus find out or F around. Just a cool little shirt. They've got their logo kind of embedded in the image there. I will say that it doesn't have the feel of a shirt that I would wear. And most of you know I don't really wear vendor shirts out and about. This one's, I would say that this is more of a heavy shirt, more of a fall, winter type of shirt here in Florida. So it's not that super soft feel that people were talking about. It's also not that the sports, you know, feel. But it's a good shirt. I like the image. I like the logos there. So Huntress gets a nod for me for the shirts. Now, what you're seeing now is probably my biggest disappointment of the show. This is a phone charger, and it's one of the cylinder chargers that you would put on your desk and plug in, and then you can lay your phone on top. And this was presented by True Grid. Great vendor, wonderful product, love it, use it. And at first I made fun of them because the box that it came in did not have their logo on it. But when you open it up, the charger has their logo on it, and it was great. My disappointment is this is one of the swag items that I actually was kind of hoping to get set up and use. And when I got home, or not home, actually, when I got to my office and plugged it in, it did not work. It didn't work. True Grid, what's up? So I've not yet decided if I'm going to try to reach out to my folks and say, hey, send me one that works, because this actually is pretty good. It's a weird little feel. It's not cheap plastically like some of them are. It's not as hefty as a coaster. You know, some of the coasters, like Zoris has a really nice coaster, by the way. They weren't there, but just saying. But it's a good little product, and I wish it had worked. So True Grid, I'm kind of disappointed in you guys. It's the first time I actually even, too, that I had seen True Grid representatives out. My rep, Brandon and Peter, fantastic guys, on the show 3 years ago and talked about what a great experience. Want to be on the show again, so we got to get this fixed. And Mr. Anthony, thank you for hopping on. You did a fantastic thing with your show earlier. I mentioned that. Not sure if you heard it, but good panel on pricing there. So for those that are listening by audio, Eric has put his comment in the chat. Love the swag. So, yep, good swag. Of course, True Grid, need a charger that works. But True Grid also came with hats, and hats are getting to be a popular thing at conferences. And True Grid brought two hats of different colors, so a blue and a white. And you can't see by the sticker that is in the picture there, but this says it is the original Flex Fit that fits your life. So it's the hat that basically has the stretchy band in the back. It does not have that little plastic knobby thing that you try to adjust to make sure it fits your head. This is a Flex Fit. So even though I don't wear hats and I put it on, it would stretch to match your head without that annoying strap on the side. So again, in the apparel category, True Grid came through with some very nice hats. So kind of a toss-up, True Grid. Got a crappy charger, but good hats. So I will say that. Our next swag item, you know, I did not know what to say about this. I wasn't sure I was going to put it in, but I wanted to also talk about swag. One of the things that I truly believe when it comes to swag is, even though we know that vendors are trying to be a little bit on the inexpensive side, you don't want to spend a ton of money. You know that people like me are coming for the free stuff. But again, we want to not only get stuff that we know works, but we want to get stuff that we understand. And this was a weird little transmitter slash receiver. I didn't know what it was, but I thought, ooh, that might be cool. I thought it was a two-piece thing where you could, you know, maybe, you know, do a radio across the room and listen to your earbuds or something like that. Well, that did not happen. I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. It looks like it has a cord that would plug into an old school phone that still has the stereo plug that comes out, on which iPhones today don't have that plug. They took away that little 3.5 millimeter plug. So this receiver does nothing. And this was presented by my friends at TD Synnex. And TD Synnex, I was going to praise them that they are now my number one distributor. It used to be, you know, D&H, and then it was Tech Data before that, before they got purchased by Synnex or merged with Synnex to become TD Synnex. So I was really looking forward to it, to this. But the other downside is, when I opened up the package and brought out the instruction manual, it's not in English. It's not in English. It's in, I don't know, Korean or Japanese or Chinese or I don't know, but I need the instruction manual. Now, when you open it up, there is an English page inside, so I don't want to, you know, keep harping on it that bad, but I can't have the front of an instruction manual not be in English, even if it's English at the top and everything else out of whatever. And the other thing is, I just couldn't figure it out. That's, you know, I consider myself a decent tech. I can usually figure stuff out. I couldn't figure this thing out. It's a little plastic thing that's going to go in the trash as far as I'm concerned. So TD Synnex, sorry, not good swag. Now, the picture you're seeing here is not swag. This was a new vendor to, at least in my eyes, I've never seen this vendor before. This was a booth that was set up as the Island Router. So let me actually get this picture off, because I want to show you that what this vendor did is, if you're watching the video, I am holding in my hand an actual Island Router. This was a vendor who, when I was sitting with a group of people at the high top tables, having a little chow, we were looking around at all the booths, and this was a booth that people were kind of looking at it, walking by. They did have swag. They had a little Frisbee. They had chapstick and probably something else, I don't remember. But people didn't want to talk to them, and somehow I got, well, I didn't. I went up on everyone's behalf and said, look, we see you guys here. You've got a router. You've got an app that looks pretty cool. On behalf of everybody here that's not talking to you, I want to talk to you. And they were appreciative. They were fantastic. This is, let me go ahead and set the record straight. This is just a router. This is not something that at this point in time is going to compete or replace your firewall appliance like SonicWall, FortiGate, WatchGuard in terms of security. It does not have any of those features in there. It has content filtering. But the biggest thing with this is that it has some tracking when it comes to users and devices. And it is supposed to be fast. So if you ever had an issue with an appliance that as soon as you turn on the services, it slows down, this is not supposed to do that. This vendor, and again, it's Island Router, and it's islandrouter.com is their website. I'll have the link in the show notes. But the actual parent company, I believe, is called Perf Tech. This is the type of device that I think would fall into the realm of maybe an Arachnus, where if you just need a very basic firewall slash router and a customer that doesn't need all of the security services, well, this might fit the bill. As I mentioned, it's got URL filtering. It's got what I think might be some pretty good tracking. So even though, like, so I'm a SonicWall shop, you guys know that. I can go in and I can see, you know, which IP addresses have used the most bandwidth. I can go in and see, you know, some other routes and datas and stuff like that. This, there are features in here where you can actually group devices to a user. So if a user has a desktop and a tablet and a mobile device, and you want to track all of the internet traffic for that particular user, you can group devices to be a user group and just name it Chuck. And that way, whatever device Chuck is on, you can track what Chuck is doing. And then if you want to drill down, see what websites, what categories, this seems to be able to do that. There's some other stuff in here. It's got some auto sensing ports in here. They're all gig. Now, let me tell you, this is one of the reasons I brought this up, because as a new vendor, this was fantastic. They literally, at the conference, and I talked to them on Thursday, the gentleman there was saying, you are going to have an evaluation unit in your hand by next week. And they did. This was one of the vendors that I actually said, you know what? Call me. Let's do a demo. You know I don't do that, folks. You know I'm like, don't call me. I'll call you. But I said to do that. So 11 o'clock Monday morning, I'm on a demo. I've got a product engineer. I got the head of marketing. I've got two other people. It was a nice call. They weren't pushy. They weren't salesy. In fact, I don't even know what it cost. But they sent me the unit, and I will be putting this in probably tomorrow morning, and I'm going to start playing with it. Now, I say that with all that I said about it's not going to, you know, overtake my SonicWalls or any of the other ones that you're using. They are coming out with an enterprise-grade unit later this year or the beginning of next year. I don't know exactly when. They really wanted to come out this year, but they were honest and said, look, it might not be till then. If you see the device now, this looks like an access point. It's got colored lights. I know you can't see them because of the screen. When it lights up, the lights go blue, and it looks funky. Doesn't really look like something I would put in a client's office, especially my larger law offices, where I'm like, yeah, we're going to, you know, provide you with security. This looks like a residential unit. And I told them that. I'm not saying anything I didn't tell them on the call. But they are supposed to be coming out with a rack mount unit that is going to be more like the products that we see on a regular basis. And I think when that happens, I'm going to be looking at this. And again, it's, at least at this time, not something that I'll look to replace for my larger clients, the ones that are security-minded and need that type of stuff. But for the clients that I do have, and I do have some, I've got a retail store that is just not interested and don't have compliance needs, blah, blah, blah. We have other ways that we are securing them. We do have, you know, our BDR stuff on there. We've got ThreatLocker. We've got all that stuff. They just need a firewall that blocks all their ports so they can pass PCI compliant, blah, blah, blah. So this might be something for them. And I'm going to look at it. So I will have the link in there, and we'll go through that. And it will keep an eye on the Island router. Now, I wanted to do that segue to, again, talk about vendor etiquette and what I see happening at conferences and after conferences all the time. This was a vendor. Now, granted, it might be because they're new and they know that they've got to make an effort, that they've got to do whatever to, you know, put forth a good first step. But they were fantastic. They were excited to be there. Now, I know that, listen, some of our vendors, and you know who they are at, I don't know, 200 events a year. They see the same faces, conference after conference after conference. They know they're not going to get a sale. When they see me, they, oh, Marv's just here for the swag. Listen, these people were excited. They were happy that people came up and talked to them. When they did that demo and we had our chat, even though I told them, my people may not like this, they were like, we understand. We're working on it. Gotta love it. Most of the vendors that were at Channel Pro, fantastic. However, I do need to throw a couple under the bus. And the one I want to throw under the bus in a very nice, easy manner, because it was an honest mistake. ThreatLocker was there. You guys have heard me talk about the fact that I now am a ThreatLocker partner. Last July, signed up for a one-year deal with ThreatLocker. My original intent was to sign up with the friends over at CyberFox. That was my intent. But ThreatLocker had some other things that CyberFox didn't have. And not to disparage partner, vendor against vendor, but that's just the way it works out. My goal here is to try to be nice with all the vendors. And some things work better for some MSPs that don't work for others. So the way that we are treated by our vendors is important, whether we use them or not. ThreatLocker, I use. So we get a call at my office from ThreatLocker. And I'll set this up by saying that when I go to conferences, day one, I'm on a swag run. All I want to do is go by, grab your swag so I can get it in the bag, get it up to my room so I can bring it back for evaluation. Day two, I'll go around to the booths. And if there's somebody that interests me, like Island Router did this time, I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk. If there are partners there that I know, vendors that I have seen, that I'm cordial with, even if I don't use your product, I'm going to come say hello. Jennifer, I had a nice chat with her. Rayanne had a booth. Our good friend, ABC Solutions, had a booth. Had a great saying on the back of her shirt, too, that I'm going to try to steal for a mug. The Kaseya folks had a booth, went by and said hello to them. But ThreatLocker, I don't remember what I said to them. I know I probably waved as I went by. I probably said hello. I didn't recognize the people behind the booth. But listen, you can't call my office and tell Kim when she answers the phone that, hey, Marv stopped by her booth and he was so interested and wanted to, you know, learn about our product. So we're calling for a demo. And she said, I don't think he did that because we're already ThreatLocker partners. And the salesperson had to say, really? But he seems so. She knows. She knows of all the people. Because I come back and I tell her who I talk to, who I'm expecting calls from. And of course, she does all my bookkeeping. She does half of the taking of the calls from customers. Every time something comes through on email, she reads half of the reports. She's, you know, half of, I don't want to say she's my dispatch, but there's a lot of stuff that come in for alerts that she actually gets a lot of them. ThreatLocker, she doesn't, because she knows that that's really more of a tech thing. So it comes straight to me. And if it needs to go to somebody, I'll send it. But she knows what I use. She knows what products we use. And by the way, before you guys start calling me out on stuff, I did send an email to my account manager, of which, so in my contacts, I have two. I don't know which one's my primary, but I sent an email to them and said, hey, look, I'm going to be talking about you guys on the show, and here's why. So they know. I'm not trying to, you know, surprise anybody or stuff like that. But I did want to say, I understand. It's probably an honest mistake. Not every person knows who I am. I'm Uncle Marv. I'm the man in the van. Some of you don't even call me an MSP. I get it. But one thing I would say to vendors, at least compare the names you get at a conference against the partner list. And especially somebody like me who, yes, my day job is an MSP, but as a podcaster, I try to talk about the vendors, especially if I use them or if I've had them on the show or if other people have talked. It's not like I'm just living in, you know, winter wonderland. ThreatLocker should know I'm a partner. So that's the skinny on that. Not a huge thing, but it's a thing that gets talked about in the forums and on things like the Facebook and Reddit. You guys know vendors get trashed all the time because people complain, stop calling my office. Yeah, we work with it. We do the best we can. Now, the other vendor I want to call out was actually not at Channel Pro, and this one is much more egregious in what I think. And Keith is in the chat saying everybody knows Uncle Marv. Keith, that is not true. That is not true at all. Everybody knows you. You can't go anywhere without somebody talking about the wise, sage Keith Nelson. They all want to rub your beard like it's a Sinbad something. But so the vendor I want to call out because of vendor etiquette is when I went back and looked at my emails, and I'll be honest, I get a lot of emails from vendors that I don't look at. I get a lot of spam. I get a lot of junk mail. You guys, you know, you all get this. And I don't know how much I get just simply because I've been in IT. I don't know how much I get because I go to conferences. I don't know how much I get because of the podcast, but I know that I get a lot. I get a lot from partners that I'm already partners with, where I'm getting, you know, I'll say Kaseya only because I'm going to be going to Kaseya May 9th. So let me get this out of here. Kaseya has a ton of products in their portfolio. I don't use them all. I think they have, I don't know, 15. I don't know. I'll find out on May 9th. But I use three. I use three of their products. But I get emails, I would say almost every day, multiple times a day. Hey, have you looked at this? Hey, we're doing. I get a lot of emails. I don't read them all. So I get this email from NordLayer, and I didn't really know who they were. And I got an email. Actually, you know what? I'm going to pull up something real quick on. Yeah, okay. So this used to be NordVPN. Whatever. That's where the thing comes across. So NordLayer. So here's the email that I got. Marvin, I regret to inform you that after several attempts to reach out, I have not been able to connect with you. As a result, I must say goodbye and move on to other opportunities. I would also like to ask, are you the best person to speak about new vendors at MB Systems of South Florida, Inc.? Or is there someone else within your team who would be better suited for this conversation? So this actually came in on Friday, and I didn't pay it much mind because I don't know the name. I don't know the name of the person. But then I was going through and cleaning out my email like I do, and I came across this, and I looked at it. I'm like, let me research this a little bit. So I found two things. One, that this person had been trying to reach out to me since January 2nd. I get it. If I've not responded to you, I apologize. I'm sorry. I understand that that could be frustrating as a salesperson, account rep, and you're trying to get a sale and people aren't responding. I get that. But when I read the first email, because I realized I hadn't read any of them, so I went back and read this first one from January 2nd. And it starts off by saying, Marvin, just reviewed MB Systems of South Florida, Inc. Partners, - great offering for your clients. Looks like you've carefully chosen the best vendors, and you might already have something in your portfolio that covers the cybersecurity stack. Would you be open to exploring new vendor options for cybersecurity? And are there any specific challenges or priorities within your cybersecurity strategy that you'd like to address? Hope to hear from you. Boom. Now, I'll be honest. Like I said earlier, I didn't read this back in January. I read this today after I read the other email that came on Friday. And then I went looked back, and this person was a contact or a connection on LinkedIn that I unconnected today. And listen, this is one of those areas where I'm kind of like, eh, vendor etiquette. I would have rather he just not sent an email at all rather than start off with, I regret to inform you. There's no regret. We don't have a relationship. And first of all, if you're going to use my company name in such a way that I know that you didn't edit your template properly because MB System of South Florida Inc. Partners is not my company name. Do your research. Be better. That now leads me on to another peripheral rant. And some of this is already out in the ether because I'm going to be mentioning something that I got a text message from a friend of mine who sent me a screenshot of their LinkedIn where somebody had reached out to them. And here's where I'm at with LinkedIn. Some of you don't know I have a system with LinkedIn. First of all, I don't reach out to random people to get connected on LinkedIn or the Facebook. I have a rule that, for the most part, I wait for people to reach out to me. And my rule on LinkedIn is if you reach out to me to be a connection, well, first of all, I'm not going to accept your connection unless we have at least 5 people in common. I just had to put something in there to do that. So the only exceptions to that are if we've talked in person and I know you directly, I was referred to you, and we have something in common in terms of business or even the podcast, things of that nature. But if not, you're going to sit there until we have 5 connections in common, and then I'm going to evaluate those 5 connections to see if not whether or not they're legit connections, but some connections I have because they're salespeople trying to sell me something. And so I'm like, okay, the only time I automatically accept if I don't know you or if I haven't been introduced to you, the only time I automatically accept a connection is if it's more than 50. So it's the 5 and 50 rule. So the person that I had on there was, I think, at 48. And now I'm wishing, you know what? I wish I had not done that. So I unconnected somebody today. The other side to that is whether you are a vendor, whether you are a salesperson, whether you are a business coach, whether you are an influencer or whatever you think you are. If you send me a friend connection and I hit accept, what I do not want happening is 5 seconds later to get your pitch and your request to set up a meeting. No. You got to woo me first. I got to know who you are. You got to give me a reason to like you. Yeah, I accepted the connection and the friend request, but we need to do more than that. And so the next comment that usually happens is, hey, whenever you're ready, blah, blah, blah. And then it diverges into stuff like, hey, are you truly trying to grow? Are you really wanting to expand? Or it goes the other way where, hey, didn't mean to scare you. Well, that would be an unconnect for me, because if you're going to make a comment about didn't mean to scare you, first of all, I don't get scared. But I do get frustrated, upset, and disappointed, and somewhat angry in the tone as which to some of this happens. So I don't know how I didn't mean for that to go as badly as it sounded, but that's where we are. So let me put a good sandwich back on this, because I mentioned that, you know, we do have some great vendors. True Grid, as I mentioned, was a great vendor. Again, I mentioned that this was the first time I had seen them out in public. My actual account manager was out there, and great guy. A little awkward at the bar, but great guy. And I want to say thank you to that. Of course, our friends at PAX 8, always a good thing. You saw the ad before the show, or you heard the ad, that I will be at the PAX 8 Beyond this June in Denver. That will be my trip across the Mississippi out west, so I will be doing that. There's some other great vendors there. I wanted to give a shout out to somebody. All my pages are all messed up because I got so flustered with stuff. But some great shout outs to some other vendors that were there. PAX 8, True Grid. Oh, Avast. Tiffany Pruitt, my account manager when I was back using AVG for business. Tiffany, great to see you out and about. Hope to chat with you soon. And maybe I didn't even bring the page with me. Oh, well. But I did mention, of course, Huntress, TD Synnex, great partner there, and some of the others. Channel Pro Live was a great event. Again, Jay-Z, thank you for putting that event on. It was fantastic. I hope to do more. And what else? I know a lot of people are right now in Nashville at the MSP Initiative. I know there's an ASCII event going on. I will be at, I believe, the Boston ASCII event. And, of course, I will be at PAX 8 Beyond, I mentioned. I'm going to be at IT Nation Secure. I think that is the one that happens in June. And, of course, later on the line, you know that there's TechCon Unplugged and all of that. So we'll be seeing everybody out and about. I think that is going to do it for this show. So thank you all for hanging out. Keith Nelson, Mr. Old Man, thank you for coming on. Eric Anthony, I know there were some others out there hanging that didn't participate in the chat, but thank you for attending the live show. I do this every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, I have audio content that comes out. There was a show that came out yesterday about strategic marketing. So be sure to head over to itbusinesspodcast.com and hit one of the podcatchers to be alerted whenever shows come out. I'm actually doing another MSP Money podcast, I believe, either tomorrow or Friday, that will talk about profit first for MSPs. So I want you to be looking forward to that. And, of course, I'll be back with another live show next week. That's going to do it, folks. I went much longer than I thought I would talking to myself. But I appreciate you for indulging me and listening and supporting. That's going to do it. We'll see you soon. And until next time, holla.